Plant-based foods are hot right now, but what about meat? Don't we need meat? It's sort of the all-American go-to food. Or is it? My guest today is Robin Asbell, author of Plant-Based Meats, Hearty, High-Protein Recipes for Vegans, Flexitarians, and Curious Carnivores. Robin's been on the show a few times with her books Juice It, Big Vegan, and Great Bowls. This time around, it's creating mock meats. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so first off, I need to ask you what a flexitarian is.
Sure. Flexitarians are people who are vegetarian a lot, but they are flexible.
Okay. That makes sense. And there are people that say, we need meat, but that's not what you say.
No. We've learned enough about nutrition and protein and everything that we're absolutely able to live with no meat, no dairy, no eggs, all those kinds of things, and be perfectly healthy.
And What is it about our culture in particular, I think the Americans, that meat is so important? I know, like with my husband, he can't even consider an actual meal of really good, heavy soups and stews that have no meat.
I know, it's so psychological, honestly. You know, and I've cooked for people who eat meat, I've cooked for people who are vegetarian, all my life, and you'll find that people insist that they have to have meat, but then when you give them some good non-meat food, they will enjoy it, mm-hmm. you know, but there is that mental mindset of like, I just cannot even imagine a dinner without it, and that's psychological.
Yeah, that's for sure, because there's one thing that might be a little bit psychological for me, and that is tofu. It's never been a taste sensation for me, but I'm also somebody that has a thing about texture, so I don't like mushrooms either. How do these other mock meats stand up with that texture?
You know, I'd say these mock meats are really the answer for people like you, because there are a lot of people for whom tofu, you know, unless you grew up with it or, you know, you've learned to love it, it's foreign, mm-hmm. you know, and so these meats have much more of that heft and weight and savoriness that people crave. And I tell you, when you eat a sandwich made with, you know, a nice slab of, you know, faux bologna or mock ham, you do get full and have that same meaty sort of satiety that you would get from eating meat.
And where do we find that? How do you make a mock meat?
Well, there's a couple things. You know, you use high protein base ingredients, you know, and there's a lot of these are made with wheat gluten flour and also things like tofu, nuts, seeds, beans, grains, all that kind of stuff. And then I use every trick that I know about how to build in umami. And umami is a Japanese word for a meaty taste. And it turns out that there are plenty of plant-based foods that have these umami chemicals in them. Like I use a lot of, you know, fermented proteins. That gives you a bunch. And there's, you know, mushroom powder, nutritional yeast, all kinds of different flavors you can get from that.
And how do you get like fat? Like you have a I don't know if I can say a faux bacon. Where does that fat flavor come from?
Right. Well, there's a layer. So that's sort of it's a fun way to play with it, is that mm-hmm. there's a layer that's red and there's a layer that's white. And they're both made with gluten flour, but also the white layer has a little more of coconut oil in it.
Okay. So we are talking with Robin Asbell. She is the author of Plant-Based Meats, Hearty, High-Protein Recipes for Vegans, Flexitarians, and Curious Carnivores. And I love your ingredients glossary. That is so helpful. Because there's so much that I don't know about, but I look at the beautiful pictures in here of all these tasty recipes, and I really do have big plans that I'm going to make these recipes, because I am somebody that I could go without meat. I'd be just fine. But I need to surprise my husband for it. But the ingredients glossary, where did you Where did you come up with all of that?
Yes, well, you know, I've been cooking, you know, plant-based foods for years and years, and so one of the things that I wanted to do in the book is to only use ingredients you can get at a well-stocked, you know, co-op or natural food store. And so I just, you know, went through and picked out everything because, you know, that, like I say, there's all these, this sort of toolkit of umami boosters and protein boosters and flavor boosters that we can use in vegan food that are completely natural and, you know, just really good food.
Well, there are two things that you mentioned in here, the kitchen bouquet and liquid smoke. And I've used those before and really didn't realize exactly what was in them.
Yeah, you don't even think about that. That, you know, kitchen bouquet is caramel, you know, to make things turn brown. And it's been used historically, you know, as they tell you to brush it on cooked chicken or something to make it look more brown. But you can make your own. And, yeah, and liquid smoke is just, you know, smoky water.
Which, who would have, honestly, it's so simple, liquid smoke, and who would have thought? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, you just put some smoke and some water in a smoky room.
Yeah, how crazy. There's also a lot of other things that you have in the book in the very beginning, which is really about the salts, the complexity, as you had mentioned, umami, and also the appearance. And I think that's part of the issue, too, is the appearance. And I noticed in some of the recipes, these look like meats. How do you get
that? Yeah, that was the fun thing. Actually, you know, I have a degree in art.
Oh, there you go.
I feel like I'm finally using all those years of arts training and sculpture. And, yeah, that's, I think, we're kind of coming around to the idea that, like I say, not everybody's going to warm up to tofu. And so if making these things really appealing like that is really opening up all this, you know, it's a huge growing market. People are trying it and liking it and buying it. So I thought, why not make it?
And that's definitely a big part of the appeal. You also talk about the health, of course, benefits.
Right. And, you know, it's just that you want to cut back on animal products. And, you know, I'm not trying to make everybody in the world go vegan overnight. I'm a big fan of the Meatless Monday concept, is that I'd like for this to reach the curious carnivores and the flexitarians who just want to eat less meat, as well as the people who want to eat no meat, you know. So I think that everybody's known for some time, though, that we don't need to be eating as much meat as most Americans do.
And I think what's really great about this book, too, is that, as you had mentioned, the ingredients themselves are easy to get. It's also, if you can follow a recipe, you can make this.
Yeah, and that's it. It's, you know, it's not any kind of a high wire act where there's special techniques other than just, you know, kneading and mixing and shaping, you know. Some of it takes a little time, but I always compare it to baking bread on the weekend. You know, is you can make it on the weekend and have it all week long, or you can freeze it. Most of them freeze really well. So,
oh, good to know. And now let's go to the recipes. The one that I saw right off the bat, savory miso roast. That looks delicious.
It is, and yeah, the miso is the umami secret, right? Is that it's got the fermented proteins in it, and then they get broken up and make these free amino acids, which make it taste more meaty. So, and it is, it's a very tasty loaf.
Do you have to have sort of like a science degree to create some of these things too?
No. I did the reading, so you don't have to.
Okay. Right? Just, phew.
You just can. Yeah, you just can eat it and enjoy. But yeah, I find that, you know, super interesting to know how I can use chemistry to make food more delicious. But you know, you just get to eat it.
That sounds like a plan. Another one that I found interesting: jackfruit pulled pork.
Yeah, jackfruit is booming right now. It's just it's this giant spiky fruit from the tropics, but if it's underripe, which is very important, you can cook it up and it falls apart into pieces that look just like pulled pork. And it has, you know, a neutral flavor, and so you just put a tasty sauce on there, and you can have the mouthfeel of biting into a barbecue pork or a jerk pork sandwich.
Mmm. Boy, and it looks delicious in here as well. The other one I noticed, too, walnut cauliflower ground beef.
Yeah, I really played around with different ways of making the mock ground beef and tacos and things. Mm-hmm. And I like that one. You know, cauliflower is really hot right now, and I love using walnuts as a mock meat. You know, so that's got a lot of protein and vegetables, and it's really tasty.
And there's, I eat bulgur. I usually just kind of throw in some spices and whatever. I just like to eat it as it is with, mm-hmm. of course, some spices of whatever I figure out, whatever in the cupboard, really. And I've got my husband to get at least that far. So I also noticed that you use that as a base, too.
Yeah, those little nuggets of the bulgur have the same sort of a texture and chewiness as ground beef when you put it in. I think they're in like some little sausages and things like that in there. And it mm-hmm. is pretty convincing, really.
Yeah, it is. And I like, too, the way this is, you have it separated with basic meats and even sausages.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd have thought that?
I know. The sausages were really fun. You know, some of them are just look so convincing. You know, I wrapped them up and tied them up like little sausages and steamed them. And they're just really great to have on hand. You know, again, you freeze them. You can just slice them into a pasta sauce or slice them thinly onto a sandwich, and you just got food.
I have to say the hot dogs look better than the real ones. So there you go.
They're so good. I'm doing an event next week where I'm going to serve little bites of the hot dogs at a bookstore, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, that is fun. And we are talking with Robin Asbell. She is the author of Plant-Based Meats, Hearty, High-Protein Recipes for Vegans, Flexitarians, and Curious Carnivores. And one of the other things I wanted to ask you about that you mention in the book is the environmental impact. Can you expound on that just a little bit?
Yes. Well, we know that especially beef requires a great deal of, you know, space and water and resources to make. It has a huge carbon footprint. And so any time that you substitute for beef with a plant-based food, which has a much lower carbon footprint, you're really, really reducing the carbon load and the amount of water used and the amount of energy used, you know, all of that in just one meal. So it's a very easy way to have an impact on helping to save the planet.
All right. So there's the other bonus to plant-based meats. Robin, thank you so much for your time. Do you have, are you planning another book yet?
Well, I have a book actually that's already in the works coming out in January. It's a vegan meal prep book. So that's going to be very fun. How to really cook on the weekend for a couple hours and then set yourself up for the rest of the week.
Oh, that sounds really interesting, especially for very busy people.
Yes, yes. So it's very much a down and dirty kind of get that food on the table cookbook.
Oh, I like it. All right. Well, then I will be speaking with you again.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks for having me.